Good morning. It is good to see you all here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And today I'm going to be talking about what kind of soil are you? And when you get to Luke, chapter 8, starting in verse 4, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able to stand. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the reading of this word. And God, today, when this sermon is done and you have spoken to us, Lord, I pray that every single one of us will have a heart, that we will be the good soil, dear God, that we will continually search and seek for you, Lord God, to change our lives, to do better, that we will be better witnesses, that, Father, we will be the kind of Christian people that you've called us to be. And, Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear at all, because there is no fear in you. God, you're our strength, so encourage us today, Lord, to be the witnesses that we should be. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you, Father, through your Holy Spirit. Nothing from my flesh or my own thoughts or my perceived ideas. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this sermon today, this just really came about this morning because I've been watching right behind my house. There's, I don't know, probably 200 acres back there behind. And my friend Lance Gribble and his dad, they farm that every year. And every year they put beans out in one section. And then over on the other side, they always put out corn on the other area. And I always like to watch them plant, because here's what I've seen. They prepare their soil, and they do their planting, they do their turning over of the soil in a certain way, and then they go out and they plant the seed. And then I always like to watch, after a few weeks, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, I go out to the side where the beans are growing, because, well, my property line runs right up to that, and I'm always amazed. because they plant these little seeds down into the ground, and those little seeds have received everything that God has given to them to nurture them, and that little seed starts to... Now, I'm not a farmer, and I don't know the study of seeds and all that, but I'm going to give it to you in a hillbilly fashion. That little dude starts to break down in the way that it breaks down, and then up out of it starts to come this little bitty green sprout. And I always like to watch week after week that those sprouts, they start to get bigger and stronger and they get bolder. And then next thing you know, one day, all of those beans and all of that corn. Now, corn amazes me. How many of you ever seen a seed from corn? A corn seed is about so big. And I tell you what, when corn has tousled its way out, I've seen corn stalks up to 7 to 8 foot tall, and they'll have 3 to 4 ears. I'm amazed at what God can do with a little seed. But you know what makes that seed happen? The soil that it's planted in. And I know that the farmers have to do and choose the right soil in order for their crops to grow. And I always love it when they come through and harvest, because I compare the farmer's harvest to the harvest that the church needs to experience. We need, as Christian people, we need to start preparing our soil. We need to start getting ourselves in the Word of God daily. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to prepare ourselves, because when we receive the Word of God and we go out and witness to others, our life basically determines the type of seed that's going to go out and be planted. If we're walking with the Lord, if we're obeying God's commandments, and we are living upright as we can, and I'm going to tell you this like I always do, sin is going to be in your life, but it's up to us to abstain from that sin, to make the choice to turn away from it. And it's up to us to have constant fellowship with the Lord, because when God is working in our lives and we go out and witness to the others and we start to plant seed, we need to make sure that we're planting good seed into good soil. See, when we're living right and doing the things God wants us to do, God will take care of the seeds that are planted. It's not up to us to make sure that those seeds grow. See, God's the only one that can change the hearts and lives of people. So here, Jesus, and this is what I like. Whenever Jesus taught, there was always a multitude of people that came to hear him speak. And I told you last Sunday, Jesus had a way of talking that he could really hold the attention of people for, I don't know, maybe hours. I could sit probably for 15 hours and listen to Jesus teach and speak if he was here right now. But you know what? How many of you ever had a preacher you listen to and you think, boy, I wish he'd hurry up? He guarantee you, I had to go to church one night. We had this preacher come in, and he was monotoned, and he never really went anywhere with the sermon. He'd read scripture, he'd kind of tell you what he thought and this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting there going, oh my word, you know, I felt like a plant withering in the hot sun. But anyway, as I've gotten into the ministry, I had to find out quickly that I had to let God be the one that was in control, that I had to let God steer the direction that things were going to happen. And I've watched God many times do great and mighty things. Tim and I were speaking this morning, and Tim mentioned something to me. He said he knew of a church up in Franklin County. And as soon as he mentioned Harmony Free Will Baptist Church, I said, oh my goodness. I said, I used to live right around the corner from there on another county road. And I said, I even preached at that church. I walked into that church on a Sunday morning just to visit. My friend Kenneth Edwards was pastor, and I love Kenneth and Shirley Edwards, I mean, with all my heart, good people. And now they just live up the road from me, not too far. And I get in there, and Brother Kenneth says, now I just started in the ministry, and I hadn't preached a whole lot. And Brother Kenneth said, Jim, how'd you like to preach this morning? And I said, oh, sure, yeah. I don't have a sermon, but yeah. So I was sitting on the front row nervous, and I said, Father, this morning I don't have a message. I need you to give me a word to speak to the people today, whatever it is. And God instantly said, I want you to preach the message on faith that you preached at Indian Camp Baptist Church, which was 2 weeks prior. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. I said, Lord, you just give me the words and I'll preach what you put on my heart. And I got up in the pulpit that morning and preached the message. And when the Lord was done speaking to people's hearts, we gave a time of invitation, and a man got up out of the back row and literally came running. I thought we was in a Pentecostal service there for a minute, because he come running down that aisle and he fell on his knees at the altar, and you could hear him weeping out loud and uncontrollably. And Brother Kenneth looked at me and he said, go pray with him. I said, yes, sir. And I went and knelt beside that man and I said, sir, what can I pray with you about today? And he said, well, I've been living a life of sin. And he said, this morning, I didn't want to come to church. He said, but I've got a new baby girl. He said, Brother Jim, I've had problems with drinking and living how I want to live. And he said, I'm about to lose my wife, everything, and I got this new baby girl. He said, I want to give my heart to Jesus and I want to trust Him as Lord and Savior of my life. And when that happened, the man, I prayed with him and he got saved. And there, well, quite a few months went by. I hadn't been back to Harmony. But I was talking to Pastor Kenneth one day, and Brother Kenneth said this to me. He said, Jim, I got to share something with you. He said, that guy you prayed with, he said, he is now the youth pastor of our church. He said, God has restored his marriage, and he is the happiest fella that I've ever seen. So see, when we're living for the Lord and we're planting the seeds and we're living good, God will take care. That's what I want. The point I wanted to make is that God will take care of the seed. God will take care of the person's heart. All we have to do is share with them what the Lord has done. And that's what Jesus was talking about in these parables that he was talking with to the people. Jesus was referring, first of all, to the hard soil, people along the roadside. And these are people who have a hard heart. So when the seed, when the Word of God is given out, there are people who come to church who say they're Christian, but they're so hard-hearted. I mean, they'll show up and they'll sit in their seat and they'll make their presence known. Some people like that, when they walk into the church, you'd almost think that the walls would cave in because they walked into church. But their hearts have gotten so hard that the pastor will share the message, will speak to them what God's put on him, and they don't receive it. They come into church one way, and they are bound and determined to stay that way, and the Lord is not working in their life because man has shut themselves off to God's touch. And we have gotten to a place today where we see that in a lot of our churches. There is no revival happening because of hardened hearts. We should be the type of people that if we are sitting in the Lord's house and we are telling folks, yes, we are Christians, then our heart should reflect what is actually what we're talking about. I mean, it should be there. The evidence should be there. The fruitfulness should be showing from our life. But people who have a hardened heart, they don't receive it, and they'll never be changed as long as they walk the path of life. And when they leave church, they leave just the same that they had come in. And then the rocky soil, Jesus was reflecting on people with a shallow heart. Some of it, when the seed fell, some of it came up because it would grow. And I've watched this. I did an experiment one time. I put some grass seed out and I just left it on top of the soil and I watered it. And I watched it grow because I had preached before on the parable of the sower, and I watched the seed grow, and I watched the grass come up, and man, I got all excited because there was grass showing up. And then you know what happened? I didn't nurture, because it was intentional. I didn't nurture that seed, you know, like I should have. But because it didn't have a good root system, it didn't take a hold in the soil, then before long, that grass started to wither and it started to die. And there are people today, they come to church and they'll receive it, but still yet there's sin in their life. And people think that they're okay. They think that they're still going to heaven. I want to share this with you, but I want to share this out of love. You can come to church and you can say that you are a Christian, but if you're not living what you're speaking, you're not going to heaven. If you're not living the Word of God, if you're not obeying His commandments, if you're not loving others, and if you're not doing what He's called you to do, Jesus is basically going to say to you, I'm sorry, I didn't know you. Because see, these are the type of people that when they're pressed in life, when they're pressed as a witness, they will actually stand up and say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. Sadly, when I got saved, I did the very thing. I was young, I was dumb, and I wasn't very mature in the Lord or in the Word, but I still wanted to hang out with my old buddies on the weekend. And when I'd get around them, some of them were saying, hey, I heard you got saved that you started going to church. Oh, no, I don't know who in the world said that. Because, see, I didn't want to lose my buddies, my so-called buddies. Well, I found out later that my buddies weren't the type of friends that I thought they were. They weren't there when I was in need and when I was troubled or whatever was going on. They weren't there to uphold me in prayer. And then I realized that turning my back on the Lord like that, I was quickly pushing my way right out of heaven. See, because if we deny the Lord before men, the Bible says, Jesus said that He would deny us before the Father. And I tell you what, I would not want to die and leave this world and stand before God. And then Jesus says, well, look at all these times that you denied my Father. You denied me. Well, we're denying you right now. I would not want to be in that place. I'll tell you one thing about Michael Ward, who passed away yesterday, a good soldier of the Lord. He loved people. He would tell more people about Jesus, and he would never deny the Lord. And when his wife sent the message that he had gone on to his eternal home in heaven, I thought, wow, this guy is running the streets of heaven, I'm sure, and he's rejoicing because he never rejected Jesus. And then Jesus talked about the thorn-infested soil, and that's people with a distracted heart. That was seed that fell among the thorns, and it grew, but it got choked out, and it eventually died. And here's what this is talking about. Christian people who take in the Word of God and they live by it, but then after a while, here's what happens. The devil starts to speak lies to the mind, and when the devil is speaking lies to the mind, he gets you to think a total different way. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the devil came to Eve. Now, I want to say this. Adam should have been right by her side. Because do you know when God created Adam and Eve, He created Eve out of the rib to be right by the side of man, not trampled underfoot, and not to be overpowered in any way. But she was there as a helpmate, and it was Adam's responsibility. He should have been right there. Well, we don't know where Adam was at, but here's Eve off in the garden. The devil come up to her, and the devil started to speak lies to her about the tree, the fruit on it that God told them not to eat. And the devil said, well, surely you won't die. And he deceived Eve, and she took of the fruit and ate of it, and then she took it to Adam, and Adam ate, and then they both realized that they had just sinned. Sin had been born into the world. And yet today, Christian people are letting the devil deceive them in every way. And now we are seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ being brought into church. And now man has listened to the devil. And the devil is saying, now surely this is not what God's word is really meaning and saying. This is how you should interpret it. And there are people who are interpreting God's word in such a foul and a rank way, and that's how they're starting to live. And churches are starting to adopt the things of the world, and churches are starting to let sin take its place where the righteousness and the love and the truth of the Lord should be. And so the thorns, when they grow up around... How many of you ever watched weeds and thorns grow up around things in a garden, and you watch your garden? I've seen, you know, look like Mr. Douglas on Old Green Acres. You know, the poor guy couldn't have a healthy crop, and I just kind of reminded me of Mr. Douglas's crops. Dead and choked out, and that's exactly where our churches are at right now. And I'm not afraid to say it. I would preach this in any church today, that Christians are being choked out by the lies of the enemy. They are living life how they want to. And I'm telling you what, if we don't turn from our wicked ways, we will be judged by the Lord when we stand before Him. I'm not anybody's judge. And I'm not anybody's jury. Jim Cooper has to stand before God. So Jim Cooper's life has to be a good witness. Jim Cooper's life has to be good soil. I mean, I could stand up here and preach, and I could give you all the love in the world, but it's up to you as a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, I'm praying this morning that you take what you're hearing, because if you die without Jesus, you're going to go straight to hell, and that's where you've sent your own self. See, Jesus died. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that was part of last week's scripture. Jesus says, He is the truth. We should be speaking the truth of God's word within our church, and we should also be living a life of truth, because if we claim that we are Christian people, then His truth ought to be very evident within us, and our light should shine brightly before men. We should not be in any situation where we have to have the thorns pruned out of our life. We shouldn't, if we're living rightly. I was sharing with Tim again this morning, and I think I told you guys about it. But here a while back, I watched that church in Orlando, Florida, and it was sad to see a minister stand up there and just take on filth and immorality. And they brought it into the church of God. So see, the devil is starting to really win battles. You know why? Because the Christians aren't preparing the fields. Here's something else too. If a farmer is going to have a good crop, he has to prepare his fields in order to do what? Receive the rain. If the field isn't ready when the rain comes, guess what? There ain't going to be a good harvest. There ain't going to be a good crop. I tell you what, I watched Lance on Friday afternoon. I got to go home and rest some from work. So I was sitting out there by the back deck, and I was watching Lance take down the beans, and I thought, man, what a healthy crop. They had an I kid you not. Now, I'm 6 foot tall, and when I stand out there by Lance's bean, the top of them beans are right up here on me. And then I drive by their corn, and I mean tossle that corn. And yesterday was combining the corn, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could see that in the church? That we could see a harvest like that? Because people were preparing their field. And that's what I want to get into last here. The fertile soil. That's a good heart. The seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop. So, I planted some grass seed here a few months ago, and this time I did it right. I put it. Now, I did the other two. I was experimenting that day. But I put the seed, and I turned the soil over with it, and then I put a little bit of hay over that, and I've got a nice, I mean, it's green as all get out right now. I mean, my yard's still pretty green, but all that grass is growing up, and Effie, I've mowed it probably two times already with push mower. I had to raise up high, cut just a little bit off at a time. That's how you're supposed to cut new grass. But I thought, man, you prepare the good soil, you plant the seed, the crop comes up. So Christian people, here's what I'm saying. And this is what the Lord wants every one of us to do. Prepare our fields daily. Every day you've got to prepare your field and you got to receive the rain. And when the rain comes into your life, and then the Lord, see, we have to have rain and sunshine for the crops to grow. So when the rain comes, praise God and serve Him. And when the sun is out, praise God and serve Him. Live for Him. Give Him everything. Trust Him with your life. And when you go out, start to witness to people. I mean, we should have a burden on our hearts every day to witness and to minister what the Lord has done for us. And if we will do that, we will see a good crop planted within our churches. I was looking at the board. Last week we had 24. Praise God. Jim Cooper didn't do that. Nobody else in this church did it. God did it. God gets the praise and the honor and the glory for it. And we got some good looking folks again today. We got good numbers. May not be 24. I don't care what the number. But you know what? There's people here. And folks, what I want to say to you today, if you don't know Jesus, accept Him in your heart and life and be a good sower. Be somebody who wants to receive the Word of the Lord in your life and that you want to change, that you want to be a part of God's plan, that you want to see a good harvest, because I want to see these curtains. I'll get it straight. I'm from Alabama, so I have a good reason. I want to see these curtains back. I want to see that baptistry filled with water. And I would love to see people lined up getting baptized. I could just imagine what Boscadel Baptist Church used to be like when people would walk out this sidewalk, get on that boardwalk, and go all the way down to the creek. And I'm sure Effie probably remembers them days back then, that there were people probably lined up, weren't they, Effie, to get baptized. They wanted to follow Jesus. And people back in the day, that was what they, God was important to them. And it's up to us today to make God important in our life and in our church and to do things the right way. Love one another. Serve one another. Because when we do that, we're going to see a bountiful crop and we're going to have a great harvest. And wouldn't it be great to get to heaven and you're standing there? This always gets me. But you're standing there and the Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and you're just walking the streets of heaven. And somebody runs up to you and says, "I'm here today because of you. You were a witness to me. Thank you. Now, I always have to say thank God for that because I didn't do it. But I thought, boy, couldn't it be great to have all these people run up to you in heaven and say, because of your witness, I'm here today. I know that I won't talk a whole lot about Michael, but he was such a great dynamic person. And one of my best friends. I'm going to miss him. Boy, my heart hurts today. It does. But I'm also joyful because, man, one of the best seed planters, what this guy had good soil. He's in heaven right now with Jesus. And I could just only imagine the homecoming celebration that he had. But I just want to put the challenge out to you today. How many of you want to sow seeds like that? How many of you want to have your own life changed? Your life could be changed right now, but you have to want it to change. I don't know who could stand to be hard-hearted, and I don't know who could stand to live for Christ just part of the way, because to me, that, like I said, that's walking the fence. That's being lukewarm. You can't live for God and have the devil as your sugar daddy on the side. You can't have that. I heard a preacher say that, and that was a good thing to hear. People serve the Lord. Boy, they want anything good from the Lord, but they've made the devil their sugar daddy, and they're living for him too, and they want to. It don't work that way. Have your life and heart changed today, and I'm pleading with you because that's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, I want people just to come and bow before me and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you haven't been living right and you are a Christian, you can rededicate your life to Christ and God will forgive you of your sins and He will wash your heart whiter than snow. And He'll bring you back into the fold of the family.